Let's make it happen, Captain.
From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Larry Larson.
And I'm Gov Maharaj.
And welcome to Defrag. Gov, do you have anything to tell us today? Anything new that we should know about?
Well,
I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah, you're putting me on the spot, man. What's new? Price of Windows 8 going up.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you didn't get it at the great price before, oh well, too bad, so sad.
Yeah, kind of tip that off in the last show, you know, get it while you can, and now it's too late. I think it's already gone up, right?
I believe it's already gone up.
Okay, so too late, but oh well. What else?
Won't stop me from getting them.
Everyone's talking about Snowmageddon, so I guess it's going to snow somewhere.
Well, I'm pretty sure it's going to snow somewhere.
It's always snowing somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Siberia.
All right.
Antarctica.
And I got nothing else. I'm 90 days clean and sober today from Facebook, by the way, so I'm very proud of that. I got my badge. And so,
are you going to the meetings?
I am.
Which would be kind of counterproductive if they're, you know, Facebook users previous Facebook users.
Yeah, I'm Larry, and I was a Facebook user. and thank you to the ladies over at Bing for selecting some animals for today to look at me and to jump towards me. Ah, so that's nice. All right, first question from Dave. Is there a way to extend how long the notifications stay on screen in Windows 8? Seems like Gove's link notification in the last episode stayed on screen longer than usual. Is this a per-app setting, or is there somewhere centralized that can be changed? So I lived through that. I was there for the horror that was your link notification coming up, and I was like, I hope that's not like some secret thing that is going to be tipped off in the subject line. It stayed up on the screen for a while, I think because you moused over it, which will reset it and bring it back if it's like fading out.
Right.
But is there do you know of a way to keep that up longer, if that's something you desire?
No. Unfortunately, no. All you can do is turn it off in the notifications, because that was the modern link that we have.
Yeah.
So you can just, you know, turn that off if you don't want to see them. And in fact, I probably should do that right now.
Yeah, that's probably a good one, so you don't get that weird email that ends up having Golnaz edit the show. All right, the next one is from Evil Dictator in the comments from last show. He says, suppose you're an application developer for a point-of-sale type Windows Store app, and you want to integrate the ability for a customer with the barcode scanner to be able to use it. In this scenario, the developer of the app is not the manufacturer of the barcode scanner, and the barcode scanner is pretty old and isn't built with a Windows 8 style app style manifest. Is it possible, and if so, how is it possible for a Windows RT device to communicate with a barcode scanner? He runs through a couple different scenarios. So let's talk about this. He's looking for what he calls an elegant solution. So my first shot at an elegant solution would be use a Bluetooth barcode scanner.
Mm-hmm.
Symbol makes one. I forget off the top of my head what it's called. It's like the 4738LZ or something like that.
I'd also look for a converter between the USB and maybe a Bluetooth adapter, because then you could get the best of both worlds if you're using an older hand wand scanner and you needed to be able to talk. Because again, a barcode scanner is just a serial device.
Yeah.
You know, and in the olden days, it just used to hook up to your keyboard port.
Yeah.
Because it's really just keystroke capturing. The barcode scanner, all it's doing is reading the characters and, you know, reading the barcodes and converting them into characters that it sends over the keyboard port.
Yeah, I used to work at a barcode company a long time ago. Shout out to my buddy Jeremy at Mintech. And back when I was banging, the way that it worked was it was just kind of a pass-through thing. So you plug it up into your keyboard port and it just passes through. You plug your keyboard into the back of that. But I think with some of the scanners now that work through USB, you'd have to have drivers. If you use an adapter like that, that should work, possibly. You'd have to try it out.
It should work.
Should work in wedge mode, which is going to be just kind of, because really all a scanner is a keyboard that keys almost immediately when you pull the trigger on it.
Yeah.
So another solution you had, and it was also in the comments, was use the camera on the device.
Yeah, use the camera on the device. There's lots of SDKs out there. There's controls that will just use your webcam, and it's continual motion. So one of the things that you were talking about was...
it's beautiful music. What you got going on there?
I've got Animaniacs in my pants.
Nice.
One of the things that you can do is use the video camera portion if you're needing to take barcodes of like multiple things.
Yeah.
And just, you know, use it as a swipe and it'll just capture all of them at the same time.
Yeah. And so then, you've got a pallet full of cable boxes or something. You want to scan all the barcodes, you can just go down. That's interesting.
I mean, that's one solution for it. The other one would be you have to find a barcode that is just using the standard USB driver that comes with Windows that will just pass through the characters as a keyboard.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking, like a Bluetooth scanner. And I actually called Symbol, which is now owned by Motorola. And the guy there, it's all in the comments for the last show. If you want to call, you can get the case number and call him back if you want. But he said, yeah, if you use a barcode scanner that's a Bluetooth one, it should work fine with RT because you don't need drivers. It's just going to connect Bluetooth with a device.
Right.
So that should be fine. And then the last thing that I would mention, which isn't quite as elegant, but use Surface Pro. It's a lot like Surface, only Pro. So the nice thing with that is you also get a pen so people could sign. So if you're doing like a point of sale thing, you want to get a signature from someone, you could do that as well. So not quite as elegant, but it would work.
It would work.
All right. Next question from Philip. Love the show. Watch it every week. Thank you very much, Philip. Unless you skip a week for holidays. Oh. Is there a way to show the full path of the preview below? SB 2011 is located at backwack. TS-XELA 14 backwack SBS 2011, the NAS backup. Or two, which is located at /E:/SBS2011, the external USB drive. So when I hover over SBS 2011, it gives a full path so I know which one I want to click on. So what he's saying is the two directories look similar to him. Is there a way to have a pop-up that shows the full path?
And in this case, there was. He happened to be, looked like he was using Server, which doesn't have theming the DWM composition turned on in Windows Server 2008 or 2008 R2. So you have this option that you can turn on. Under View, you can say...
It's right there. Display
full path in the title bar, and that should allow you to view it when you're hovering over top. Now, of course, for me, it doesn't work because I've got composition turned on, and it doesn't show the same kind of preview. We can probably stick a screenshot in the notes that, that we're trying to show there. But if you do that, it'll actually show the full path to what you're looking for in the pop-up.
Cool. All right. Next question. Today I logged into my Windows 7 account on my personal computer, and it appears that all the applications that required passwords forgot their passwords. Dropbox, Chrome, Outlook, Skype, VPN, network drives, and many more. All these applications were set to save passwords and have never acted like this before. Any explanation for the behavior? I'm pretty sure... not all these services rely on it, but could it be an issue with the Windows credential storage?
Kind of doubt that it's a problem with the credential storage, but something that might have happened is when you logged in under a temporary profile. That can happen if something goes wrong during the login process. A handle is being kept open to your profile for whatever reason. So it can't actually log you on when it with your existing profile. So it creates a temporary one. It looks the same. Most of things actually look the same, but some of your stored settings are not available. If you reboot the machine, try and log in again, see if you have access to it. The other thing is if you ever ran the disk cleanup wizard, if you deleted your temporary files, your cookies, if these were all websites, you know, that might have cleaned it up. But if you're using Chrome, that keeps it from a different store than, you know, the IE credential store. So the best option that I've got is that you logged in under a temporary profile. You can check this through the event viewer. The security portion, I believe, will tell you whether or not you've logged in under a temporary profile.
Cool. Okay. From Luciano in Argentina, I recently installed Windows 8 on my new machine, an Asus P8 Z77, or Z77, as Gov would say.
it is with... Z.
Okay. We... see previous shows for a debate on that. with UEFI enabled, latest firmware. Everything was okay. I installed the new Windows Boot Manager UI since it recognized in the old installation and old disk. But then I used EasyBCD to add a new entry to BCD. Big mistake. Now I have the old text-based Windows Boot Manager. And MS Info 32 tells me I'm in legacy BIOS mode. How can I restore the new Windows Boot Manager and also let Windows recognize I'm using UEFI BIOS? I prefer not to reinstall Windows, but I will if necessary.
I don't actually know what EasyBCD does to the system. I mean, I've never used it, so I couldn't tell you when it's screwed up. But there is an option that may work for you. If you run this from an elevated CMD window, boot menu policy, BCD edit WAC set default boot menu policy standard, that may actually allow you to get back to the graphical boot menu.
Okay.
If it doesn't, then you can try running a repair of your boot options, and you can force that by going to settings, change PC settings, under general, go all the way to the bottom. You can go to the advanced startup, and from there you can repair your system manually.
Okay.
Well, not exactly manually. It'll run through some repair options, and hopefully it'll get you back to the graphical boot menu. It'll fix your boot settings.
Okay. Cool. All right, from Robert, I have an HP DM1Z laptop that I installed Windows 8 Professional on. Now I'm having a weird issue with wireless connection. I take the machine from my home to my office daily and use wireless connections at both locations. If I'm connected to either network and just close the lid to put the computer asleep, then wake up the computer at the other location where the available wireless connection does not refresh. I have to restart the machine or disable and re-enable the wireless at each location and get it recognized the correct available connection. Putting the machine to sleep and awaking it at the same location works as it should. Is there a setting or control for this? Is this a driver issue? Device manager has RA-Link RT5390 Wi-Fi driver installed. It's not the end of the world, more of an annoyance.
So we went back and forth on this one, and actually this particular machine did have a driver update that was available through Windows Update. So if you go to Device Manager and right-click the device and go to Properties and say look for update, in this particular case there was an update for it. He got the updated driver, and it's actually working a lot better. The problem has not yet reoccurred, so hopefully the latest driver from HP is working for him.
Okay, cool. Next question. Does USB 3 have the same power delivery as USB 2, i.e. if I plug my phone up to USB 3 port, will it charge faster, or does it not matter which port I plug my phone up to?
Spec is still 500 milliamps.
Okay, so there's not going to be any benefit to whichever port you plug up, other than speed, of course.
Well, but not if you're trying to charge a device.
Yeah, okay.
But you should know that a lot of laptop or machine manufacturers nowadays are juicing up their ports. They are exceeding it. And there is an RFC for USB 3.0 in order to bump up those, I believe, to 2 amps.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, you know, if you're pulling 2 amps off that USB port, your laptop battery is going to, you know, feel the hit pretty hard.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's the trade-off then. All right, from Rob, on my new Windows 8 Lenovo Twist system, it has two general-purpose I.O., GPIO, unknown devices showing in the device manager. The device manager says it's functioning correctly. It just shows unknown devices. I found this link on Microsoft. What is the GPIO, and are there updated drivers? Should I ignore it? Great show. Thanks, Rob. And he links to KB280-3143.
Right. So he actually did show hidden devices. There's a particular reason why we hide these devices, and that they don't actually have a driver for it in the system. So device manager shows them as not having a driver, but that's okay. All you got to do is ignore it. It is enumerated in a very special way that really only the OS cares about.
Okay. And do we know off the top of our heads what the general purpose IO is? GPIO?
It is just an internal device. Okay. It's a fake device on the machine.
All right. Okay. From Kamal, and there's a YouTube link here. I did a fresh install, so... here, I'll just read the question. I did a fresh install, not an upgrade, of Windows 8 Pro. For some reason, when I search for apps by going to start and typing in the app name, it always tells me that no apps are found, even for default apps like Bing, Internet Explorer, etc. If I type in INT asterisk, I see Internet Explorer in the search results. If I leave out the asterisk, I get a no apps match your search message. And then GoView went back and forth, and then so he reproed this in a YouTube video. This was our first YouTube video submission. Congratulations.
It was actually kind of cool.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. And then when I went to look at the YouTube link, it said fixed by Gove. So he's got the notes in the YouTube video, which I'll link to, that talk about how to fix this. But
So basically the fix for it is... there are settings that are roamed in Windows 8 when you use a connected account, a Microsoft account. And if you're perhaps using an earlier version, like the beta RC of Windows 8, some settings might have been carried across that weren't working properly in the latest version, or something got corrupted along the way, whatever. One of the things to test out is create a new local account. Don't connect your Microsoft account to it and see if everything is okay. At least at that point, you know it's only a problem with your profile and not across the whole machine. So in this particular case, all you have to do is wipe out your connected account information off of live.com, and we'll have a link for that in the show notes. And what that'll do is if you disconnect all of your connected accounts, wipe the stored information on the live.com servers, and then recreate your account, and then reconnect your Microsoft account to it. Then those shared roamed settings are no longer there to, you know, interfere with your current profile.
Okay, cool. All right, and it is pick of the week time, and Gove, it's your week. What do you got?
So there's this interesting Windows 8 Store app, not that particular one. It's called Clipboard. It's free. What it does is this particular app basically says, I'm a share target for everything, right? So this allows you to do really interesting things to share to and from modern apps and desktop apps, because it becomes part of the Clipboard. It uses the Clipboard. So you can do... lots of different things. You know, you can share text, you can share deep links, which I find actually pretty interesting. So you're in the store right now and you want to share a link to this. You don't really want to mail it and you don't want to send it to your people, right? So you use it with the Clipboard and you can choose copy, right? And then you can go back to the desktop and you can just paste it right here. And this is the entire deep link plus, you know, additional metadata, right? Just the name of the app. But if you wanted to, you can go directly to it here.
Very nice.
Which is very cool. It allows that interaction between Windows 8 Store apps and the desktop apps. You can copy and paste pictures. You can do lots of different things. You can, if you choose share, in this particular case, it doesn't show up from the desktop, which is why it copied that information to the Clipboard, which is available to the desktop.
Cool. Awesome.
But I really like this app. It's nice and simple. It's free. But it really does bridge a particular gap that, you know, an industrious developer was able to fill. I really like that.
Very cool. Nice work, Justin Chase there. And so cool. That's the, and what's it called again? Just Clipboard?
Call Clipboard.
And it's in the Windows Store now, so you can go now and pick that up. And that's the show for this week. If you have comments, you can leave them below in the show page, or you can email us at defragshow@microsoft.com, and we will get back to you next week. See you then.
Take care.